In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our blessed Lord was always very concerned with providing us with motives of credibility. We are rational creatures, and God made us rational. And we cannot rationally believe something unless there is a motive of credibility. That is, unless by reason we see that we should believe it. So faith is not a mere blind leap, as some called it in the 19th century, but is a perfectly reasonable thing. Faith is not reason, but it is reasonable to believe. And our blessed Lord was very concerned about giving us reasons to believe. When we believe something, we are saying that something exists which we cannot or do not see. For example, the existence of George Washington or of Julius Caesar, you believe because you read it in history books. And if you were to deny the existence of George Washington or of Julius Caesar, someone would say, you are crazy. If this belief does not rest on serious motives to believe, it becomes a conviction which easily disappears. Supernatural faith is something which needs a proof of the supernatural order. That is to say, that if we are going to believe supernatural truths about God, we need to know that these truths come from God. And we must have evidence. Faith is a gift from God. Faith is not a conclusion or a mere conviction. It is a gift from God, a supernatural virtue, but the act of faith cannot take place stably and rationally in us unless we first see that it is reasonable to believe. Because faith requires that we order our lives totally according to its dictates, even to the point of receiving death rather than give up the faith, it is required that we have some very serious motives of belief. For this reason, our blessed Lord performed many miracles in his lifetime and fulfilled all of the prophecies concerning him. The Holy Gospel is loaded with miracles. He said to the Jews, if you don't believe me, then believe the works, referring to his miracles. In other words, if I myself have not proven my own credibility to you, well then believe what I do. Only God could do what I do. That's the point to the Jews. And the greatest of all of his miracles is his resurrection from the dead. For only God could do such a thing. In the Old Testament, we saw the prophets performing certain miracles, even raising people from the dead. So it could have been said of Christ, well, he was a great prophet, and he did those things in the same way that the prophets of the Old Testament did them. But it is impossible that someone give himself back life unless he be the very author of life. And so the resurrection is the central miracle of Christ's life and the motive of credibility, which makes it perfectly reasonable and obligatory for us to believe. So central is the resurrection that St. Paul says twice If Christ did not rise, then our faith is in vain. And he adds, and you are still in your sins. Because if Christ did not have this power in him to return life to his own body, then he did not have the power to free us from our sins on the hill of Calvary. We see the centrality of the resurrection to the Catholic faith, therefore, that upon it rests the whole virtue of faith and the guarantee of all of its truths. St. Paul says in another place, if Christ has not risen from the dead, then our preaching is empty. And we are found to be false witnesses of God. The virtue of faith is the foundation of all justification. It is therefore impossible to go from the state of sin to the state of grace without supernatural faith. And that's why we would still be in our sins, as St. Paul says. His logic is simple. No resurrection, no faith. No faith, no justification. It is of no wonder, then, that the Church places so much emphasis on the resurrection of Christ. Now, that said, about 3 years ago, Ratzinger, when he was still the head of the so-called Holy Office, personally selected a Novus Ordo priest by the name of Father Forte to be a bishop, a Novus Ordo invalid bishop, and then personally consecrated him to be a bishop. What is special about Father Forte? He wrote a book in the 1990s in which he states that the resurrection of Christ is a myth, that it was something invented by the apostles. And this man was chosen by the person who supposedly is the guardian and watchdog of holy faith to be a supposed bishop, a bishop of a diocese in Italy, Chieti, and therefore to be the standard of all faith for those people in that diocese. And he says that the resurrection was manufactured by the apostles. If what he says is true, then the apostles were liars and deceivers and imposters. Then St. Paul is a liar and a deceiver. Then the whole Catholic religion is false. And we have all been duped. If what that man says is true. And if this man was handpicked by Ratzinger, the obvious next question is, what does Ratzinger think of the resurrection of Christ? Ratzinger himself wrote these words in a book entitled Introduction to Christianity a number of years ago. And he is speaking about the resurrection from the dead, of the dead, at the end of the world. And he says, it now becomes clear that the real heart of faith in the resurrection does not consist at all in the idea of the restoration of bodies. And referring to the biblical pronouncements concerning the resurrection, he says, their essential content is not the conception of a restoration of bodies to souls, after a long interval. Now, did you not learn in your catechisms that when you die, you go to heaven, hell, or purgatory? And that at the end of the world, your body, which you have had in this world, will rise from the dead and will be judged by our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you not learn that? Is that not our holy faith? Listen to St. Paul referring to the body. He says, "It is sown in corruption. It shall rise in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It shall rise in glory. It is sown in weakness. It shall rise in power. It is sown a natural body. It shall rise a spiritual body." Has Ratzinger never opened St. Paul? Where does he say that the biblical pronouncements do not speak of a restoration of bodies? How can he say that? And the Second Council of Lyons, which took place in the year 1274, at which St. Bonaventure was present, and St. Thomas himself should have been present, except for his accident, which brought to him his death. The Council of Lyons says, "The same most holy Roman Church firmly believes and firmly declares," and that language is always an indication of a definition of faith, "firmly believes and firmly declares that on the day of judgment all men will be brought together with their bodies before the tribunal of Christ to render an account of their own deeds." Now I say to you, understanding the centrality of the resurrection, what shall we say of Ratzinger? What does St. Paul say about those who deny the resurrection from the dead, meaning of bodies at the end of the world? Addressing the Corinthians, he says, "How do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there be no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen again. And if Christ be not risen again, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also in vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have given testimony against God, and he hath raised up Christ, whom he hath not raised up, if the dead not rise again." He continues, "For if the dead rise not again, neither is Christ risen again. And if Christ be not risen again, your faith is in vain, for you are yet in your sins." How much more basic can it be? And I tell you this so that you do not fall prey to this popular belief that is becoming more and more widespread, that Ratzinger is some kind of restorer of the faith. He is a destroyer. He is a heretic. It is he who is the false witness of God and who has given false testimony against God. It is he who is stripping down the church of her sacred dogmas one by one, in the same way that the cruel executioners stripped our blessed Lord of his sacred garments. And now he has gotten into the resurrection itself from the dead. And three times I have read in his works, before he was supposedly made the Pope, and twice after, where he says that Christ in the Holy Eucharist is present in the bread. Did you ever hear the church speak in such a way concerning our Lord's ineffable presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist? Did you ever hear that Christ was present in the bread? That comes from the lips of Martin Luther. Martin Luther, who used the term transubstantiation just as Ratzinger does, nonetheless said that Christ is present in the bread. And in this last document on the Holy Eucharist, which appeared only a few weeks ago, again we see Christ is present in the bread. That is a Lutheran heresy. It is not merely an error or a nuance. It is a Lutheran heresy. Do not believe that this man is in any way going to restore the faith. Rather, he is crucifying the church as his predecessors after Vatican II have done. So let Easter be our feast of faith, believing not the false witnesses like the Jews or like Ratzinger, but believing the holy women and believing St. Paul, who says to us concerning the resurrection, "For I delivered unto you first of all which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas," that is Peter, "and after that by the 11. Then he was seen by more than 500 brethren at once, of whom many remain until this present, and some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. And last of all, he was also seen by me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.